Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London. I'm Suzanne Blumpson. Electrical stimulation of the brain can produce a striking improvement in the short-term memory of older people when finely tuned to the individual's neural characteristics, US research has shown. Naomi Rovnik spoke to Clive Cookson, the FT's science editor, about the findings.
Clive, tell us about this research. Where was it carried out and who were the participants?
A group of scientists at Boston University in the US were comparing the short-term memory of a group of 20-somethings with a group of people aged between 60 and 75. And as everyone knows, the 20-somethings were far better than the older people. And the way they enabled the older people to catch up, to have working memory, short-term memory, the sort of thing you need if someone tells you a telephone number and you have to remember it for a few seconds and write it down. The way they enabled the old people to catch up was through a particular form of brain stimulation.
Electromagnetic or something.
Yes. So they put an array of electrodes on your scalp in one of those EEG caps. First of all, they measured the electrical activity, the brain waves across different regions of the brain. And then they tuned an alternating current, a very mild one, which you could hardly feel, to improve the synchronization across the brain. And if they did that, the oldies actually matched the youngsters for their short-term memory.
Why do the younger people have better short-term memories than older people?
Almost everything gets worse in the brain, I'm afraid, as you get older. But short-term memory deteriorates much more quickly than long-term or episodic memory. And it may be partly that the synchronization, the brain waves, don't work as well, that syncing gets worse as you age. In this case, they had quite precise synchronization. They had to measure everyone's natural brain waves or rhythms and then tune this alternating current to amplify that effectively. And the results, as I said, were quite spectacular.
So obviously you've explained how the brains of these people were stimulated and what the impact was, but how long lasting was it? Was it only when you had the science fiction cap on that your brain waves were better synchronized, or did it last for, you know, a month or a year after that?
They wore the sci-fi caps for about 25 minutes and they continued to do these tests. What they were doing was sort of simple computer tests where you flash up two images 3 seconds apart and you have to remember the first one for long enough to see how different the second one is. That sort of simple test. And while they were wearing the caps, and after 50 minutes, the improvement was still going strong. That was the end of the time allocated in the study. They don't know for how much longer it would have worked, but they guess hours at least, and maybe longer than that. Now, this was an initial experiment, a sort of proof of principle, if you like. And Robert Reinhardt, who is the leader of the project, said that he thought that it would work for hours at least, but he hasn't proved that. This is early research, which they're pushing forward as fast as they can.
And so how big could this be? I mean, all the participants in the study, I assume, were healthy. But is there any evidence that those large amounts of people, growing numbers of people who have suffered serious memory decline because of dementia or Alzheimer's, is this a technology that could grow and become really big, you know, for them?
I think so. Although this study is the strongest evidence that I've seen for electrical stimulation helping the memory, it's not the first to demonstrate the effect. Magnetic stimulation can also do something similar. So this is part of a wave of research which is moving towards improving cognitive deficit, as the scientists call it. And yes, the people in this study were all healthy, but the researchers are very optimistic that it could help with diseases like Alzheimer's. And that's going to be one of the next stages of research. And Alzheimer's Research UK, the charity, is very intrigued and rather optimistic about where it might go. Because in a lot of brain diseases like Alzheimer's, studies show that synchronizing across the brain really breaks down. It can't address the underlying problems with Alzheimer's, that's going to require something else, which hasn't yet emerged out of research. But I think it could possibly help the symptoms of people who are losing their memory through Alzheimer's, and indeed for other diseases.
And is this study backed up by any other similar research? You said it's part of a broad wave of research that aims to help dementia, Alzheimer's sufferers, people suffering with their memory. But has there been anything like this, perhaps in other countries, that would back it up?
Yes, there's been quite a lot of research in other countries, and I think there'll be even more emerging once this result, which is published in the journal Nature Neuroscience, once that gets out. And Alzheimer's research has rather focused on the chemistry of the brain, developing drugs that will help proteins work better, mop up nasty chemicals. And there's been rather little dementia research looking at the electrical side of the brain. So I think, yes, this will really stimulate that.
Is there less funding for that because it's not a drug?
That's partly true. The great financial resources of the pharmaceutical industry has been rather directed to the sort of pharmacological, chemical, drug aspects of dementia. But one or two companies, including GlaxoSmithKline, are showing a lot of research interest in what's called electropharmacology or electroceuticals. And I think this might help that.
And is there a hope or, you know, a chance that this kind of treatment could be made widely available? You know how some affluent people go for their vitamin B shots? They've got more energy to succeed throughout the day. Could we, you know, people like me in my 40s, could I be going to put the cap on once a week to get a memory boost?
I don't think it's something you could do at home. Anyone can buy an EEG cap.
Oh, gosh.
But what is needed, I think, is a specialist who will tell you the frequency to alternate your current at.
Because
if you get
clinics.
It wrong, it might make it worse.
Yeah, it's a bit like doing your own Botox or something.
Yeah, you know. Don't.
Not that I'd have any knowledge of that, or whitening your own teeth. But could there be clinics in the city? You get your B-shot, you get your Botox, you get your memory boost. 10 years' time.
I can see it being adopted quite quickly because this sort of thing has a shorter regulatory pathway than new drugs. It doesn't have to go through sort of phase one, phase two, phase three. Mm. If they make health claims for it, the people will have to obviously go through a regulatory pathway, but it's quicker than putting a brand new drug on the market, which, as you know, is 10 years plus.
What about the health risks? I mean, it feels a bit strange to be having electrodes attached to your skull.
The current is a very small one. I think it's measured in milliamps. But yes, I think you're right. We should evaluate the long-term health effects. And if you get the frequency wrong, it could make things worse, because if it desynchronizes your brain, for most people that would be bad. Though having said that, the researchers say that there are a few brain disorders, of which epilepsy is probably the most important, where arguably there's too much communication across the brain. And if you slightly slowed that down, it could, and this is highly speculative, be a treatment for epilepsy working in exactly the opposite direction.
Well, it all sounds pie in the sky at the moment, but you know how quickly these things happen. Maybe in 5 years' time, we'll be popping off together in our lunch break to go and have our skull caps fitted for a memory boost. You never know.
That's a date.
That was Naomi Rovnik speaking to Clive Cookson, the FT's science editor. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you're not already a subscriber and would like to discover more FT content, you can find our latest subscription offers at ft.com/offer.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.